20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
It's Saturday, February 16th, 2019. Pack-A-Day, your 24/7, 365-day-a-year Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm Jake Turner for PackersTalk.com. Joining me, of course, is my partner in crime. He has been in the business for more times than I have actually been alive, and that is Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. Good morning, Mark. How's it going today?
I feel really old now, but I'm okay.
Well, I didn't mean to do that, but I actually did.
That's what it is. I started when I was like 5 years old.
All right. On today's Pack-A-Day podcast, we got a lot to get into here. We're going to cram it into about 20 to 25 minutes. We're going to get into Antonio Brown. We're going to jump into some of the free agency yay or nays. And, of course, the mysterious case of Muhammad Wilkerson. And so we got a lot to get into. So first off, let's start off with this. Now, I want you to picture this here for a minute, Packer fans. Let's say that you just signed a contract with a company that you have been a part of for many years. You're in the second year of your contract, and suddenly you get kind of tired of being part of that company. So you decide, okay, I want to request a trade. I want to transition to another company. Well, according to some contracts and corporations, that's not possible. With the Pittsburgh Steelers, it is possible. However, the only one that is saying this is Antonio Brown. But there are already Vegas odds out there, Mark. So what can we say right now about Antonio Brown?
Well, I strongly doubt he'll be a Pittsburgh Steeler next year. I mean, I just think that when he didn't play the last game of last season, a game the Steelers desperately needed in order to make the playoffs, I think that sealed his deal right then and there. I mean, he didn't show up at practice all week. He was upset with everyone from Coach Tomlin to Ben Roethlisberger to the fact that the team voted Juju Schuster as the MVP instead of him. So he was upset. And then he did show up on game day, and Tomlin told him, you're not playing. You know, you didn't come here all week. Now you're going to show up and think you're going to play. No, that's not how we do things here. So, yeah, he's gone. I'll be very, very, very surprised if he's a Pittsburgh Steeler next year. But we're Pack-A-Day podcast. We're not Steeler today. So
no, it's okay.
What I want to ask is, and there's lots of rumors, and like you said, Vegas put odds out, and I believe the Green Bay Packers were the second choice as to where he could land next season. Me personally, he's a great player. Let's not deny the fact that he's a great wide receiver. I just don't think. I don't think he's a good fit for the Green Bay Packers.
No, Mark, he is a spectacular football player, one of the top five best wide receivers. The guy has, since he was put in 2010, he has 74 touchdowns, 11,207 yards. He does a lot for the community of Pittsburgh. However, Mark, there are some problems with this guy. He's a diva, just like Chad Ochocinco was, just like Terrell Owens was. Just like every single diva receiver that has not gotten a Super Bowl ring. And that's another thing, too. I love it how fans are coming up and saying, no, Antonio Brown helped him win a ring. No. Actually, Antonio Brown didn't come along until 2010, not 2008. So he has no rings to this. It's not just that, though, Mark, too. Understand this. He comes in on practices in helicopters. He rolls up in Rolls Royces, and he makes damn sure that every single aspect of the media rides this thing into the ground right now. He's an attention-starved wide receiver that should not fit in Green Bay. And I don't think any aspect of a trade is possible from the Green Bay Packers.
Well, like I said, I hope not. We don't know. We don't know what the
Packers are. You're right. You're right.
They might love him. They might want him in the worst way and make it. I just, my personal feelings as someone who's followed the Packers for, as you said, longer than you were born.
True.
Again, if the Packers were devoid of wide receivers, if they really had no one, I'd say, oh yeah, you know, he's available. Let's see what we can do. But they have Devontae Adams, who might not be quite as good as Brown, but he's pretty darn good. And I don't know, I you bring a Brown in, he needs the ball. Like he got, like I said earlier, he got upset that Juju Schuster was getting a lot of attention. Like, well, how's he going to feel about Devontae Adams, you know?
I couldn't agree more, Mark. I mean, that's the thing, too, is that...
And he makes a lot of money.
But, Mark, also, he had Juju Smith-Schuster when he was at Super Bowl week. He was talking about Antonio Brown coming back to the Steelers. I mean, Juju didn't have a problem with this at all, but Antonio Brown does. I mean, he's the face of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every time you walk away from the Steelers, you think to yourself, Antonio Brown is one of those faces. But now you're but this is another thing, too, is that he signed this $68 million contract. He's only in year two, which means that the Packers would have to carry on a big amount of money just for that and take away the $35 million, according to overthecap.com, that they have left right now, because there are a bunch of other free agents out there that are more for need than want.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, wide receiver is not this team's biggest need, not even close. And to spend that, and they would have to give up a pick to get them. It all adds up to, no, I don't want to. I mean, and here's another factor.
Go for it.
As great as he's been, and you gave the numbers, he's going to be 30 years old.
Yep.
Wide receivers, and I've seen it, you've seen it, they don't gradually go bad. They fall off an edge. I saw it firsthand in Philadelphia with a guy named Irving Fryer, who I'm sure you remember.
Oh, I was a big Irving Fryer fan.
He had about 90, let me get my years right now. 97, he had a Pro Bowl type season. I'm pretty sure he went to the Pro Bowl, but if he didn't, he deserved it. You know, well over 1,000 yards, whatever many receptions, great season. Okay, Irving Fryer, he's our guy. 98, boom, he just lost it.
Yeah, Joey Galloway was the same way.
You know, Jordy Nelson. We saw it with Jordy Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it with Antonio Freeman back in the day. It just happens. Wide receivers, and when they lose that, you know, split second of speed, it just kills them. They can't get open anymore. You know, they start getting hurt. It's just, I mean, I don't want to trade for an expensive 30-year-old wide receiver.
And it's another thing too, Mark, and I'm glad you brought that up, but Antonio Brown has been injured the majority of the season. I mean, he keeps talking about that hamstring or his toe, or, you know, he comes up with some kind of excuse to the point where you sit there and go, okay, Antonio, is this fact or is this fiction? Are you hurt? Are you playing hurt? Are you trying to give the media an idea that you want to play because you just want to play? Or are you just pretending to be injured so we'll make it about you? That's one thing that the Packers do not need. We do not need diva receivers because, this is a good example, Martellus Bennett was starting to become a diva. So what did Green Bay do? See ya. Just threw him out the door.
That's besides the point.
Right, right. So, all right. So,
and that's one thing the Packers haven't had much of.
And they don't need to.
They've had some great receivers in their history. But none of them were that. Like the guys that you mentioned, they haven't. Like Jordy Nelson was not a diva by no means. Great receiver, not Antonio Freeman, Robert Brooks. They really never had that prima donna type. Devontae Adams, he's hardly like, you know, he's a great receiver, but he's not like that. I mean, you know, they all did a Lambeau leap, and that's about as outrageous as they get.
That's why it's the Cathedral of Football. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Joining me is Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. On Saturday, February 16th, 2019. All right, Mark, so we got rid of the Antonio Brown, but there's a lot of interesting free agents out there. And I did an article earlier this morning for Packers Talk about some of the free agents, yay or nay. So let's go down the line here, because I figure right now we could go to guard, for example. Our right guard was a complete mess last year, and there is one out there right now that could be a possible fit in Roger Saffold. Now, I understand that the LA Times reported that the Rams are reportedly trying to bring him back. However, this salary cap is low right now, and there could be a possibility to how the Packers could possibly get a guy like Roger Saffold.
Well, you pay him. That's how you get him. You pay him more than anybody else. That's free agency isn't hard to figure out. The team that pays the most usually gets the guy. I mean, players can say what they want about this, that, or other thing. It comes down to money. It always does, always will. I mean, there's a handful of the thousands and thousands of free agents that have moved over the years. There's a handful who have taken less money for maybe weather or family constraint. Oh, they want to be close to whatever. But 9 times out of 10, 9.5 times out of 10, the team that offers the most money gets the guy. So if the Packers really want Roger Saffold, just make him the best offer, make him a better offer than the Rams or anybody else, and he'll be their right guard next year.
Well,
I would rather, and this is my take on the Packers offseason. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, and they might be doing it totally different. Maybe they're right, and I'm wrong. I would spend, and by spend I mean money, free agency, on the defense and draft for the offense.
Okay, why is that?
Because I think the defense needs, like people say, oh, I want to draft this safety, I want to draft that safety, I don't want to draft a safety. I want to sign it. The secondary is young enough. You know, Alexander, King, Jackson, they're young. They need a veteran, I think, on safety. Edge rusher. I want to draft linebackers, sign linebackers, get linebackers, trade for any linebacker that's available. I'm looking at, because I think the Packers linebackers are awful. But I want a veteran again, because even the great linebackers in this league, pass rusher linebackers, very few of them. Now, Clay Matthews wasn't an exception. But there aren't many that have great rookie years. I mean, some of your best edge rushers, their first year, they might get 5 or 6 sacks. Then the second year, they'll get 10 or 12, and then they go on to have, you know, 10 or 12 the rest of their, every year, the rest of their careers, which is great. But that, you know, the Packers need a guy to come in next year and get 10 sacks.
Yeah, not like a guy like Kyler Fackrell. I mean, don't get me wrong, Mark. Yeah. Fackrell had a solid year, and he was starting to really come alive, but I didn't really see him as a 16-game guy.
Love him as a guy to rotate in.
Yeah, that's a good one. But you said it yourself. They need a veteran presence. And I got a couple of them for you here. You talk about safety. You talk about linebacker.
That's why I want to spend on the defense. Offense, yeah. I mean, listen. If the Packers sign Roger Saffold, I'm not gonna be upset.
I had no problem with that.
I would say good move. But mm-hmm. I think there's enough good offensive linemen that you could draft one. Draft a good one. Like they've done in the past, with a lot of times, you know, T.J. Lang, Josh Sitton, David Bakhtiari, Ryan Bulaga,
Mike Wall, Marco Rivera.
Yeah. I mean, draft a good one, put him out there, and let him be your right guard. Get a good young guy, because the Packers' offensive line, other than right guard, is veteran. I mean, you know, Lindsey's been in the league now; he's a solid veteran. Bulaga certainly a veteran; he's probably on his last legs. Bakhtiari, solid veteran. Even Lane Taylor now is kind of better. So a good young player could be a good fit on the offensive line for the Packers. I'd rather spend my draft picks there and spend my money on defense. That's just me.
So let's focus on linebacker and safety, because I have a couple of names out there. According to the Sporting News, these were the top 25 best free agents out there, and there were two outside linebackers that got to me and two safeties that got up to me. Let's start off with safety. The first one is Adrian Amos of Chicago. Now, the cap space is unbelievably low for Adrian Amos, and it's $7 million left. That's all Chicago has left.
The Bears have little cap space. Okay.
But another thing is, Mark, so the Packers went and tried to get Kyle Fuller on a $56 million offer sheet. The Bears matched him. What would be the chances of the Packers going to possibly take Adrian Amos, and this time the Bears can't match it?
Well, is Amos restricted or unrestricted?
I believe he's a restricted right now. I'd have to look.
No, I'm not dealing with restricted guys, because you kind of waste your time, and mm-hmm. the Bears will match it. And you got to give.
It'd be funny though. It'd be funny.
Is Adrian Amos that good?
I think he has the makings of a shutdown safety, but I don't think he's one that I'm going to pour out the big money to, no.
There's other safeties I like better.
Well, I got one then for you, Mark. How about Earl Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, how do you not like Earl Thomas?
29 years old, great leader in the locker room, hard hitter.
I mean, Earl Thomas is great. Is he leaving Seattle?
He's out. He's going to be out. They are approaching that divorce.
We all know that, I mean, he basically begged Jason Garrett to come get him a couple years ago.
Right, but money can change things.
Sure.
Money can change things. And, I mean, that would be the veteran that you're looking for. Now, I know it sounds like a hot take, and I'm sounding like Colin Cowherd here, but I understand where you're coming from. But Earl Thomas would be that veteran that the Packers could nail right there.
Listen, Earl Thomas is a great player. I just don't know if that's a possibility. It could be. I mean, listen, anything's possible these days. This isn't the old Packers that never even looked at free agency. So, yeah, it's possible. I would love that. But I don't know.
Do you have one?
I like a Trey Boston.
Do you have one?
Trey Boston.
Okay. Talk about that.
Well, I think he's in Arizona. He probably wants out of there. I think he's a good player. I don't think he'll break the bank. I think he'll get a decent deal. Another one that I like is, I don't know if, from what I'm hearing that they might, is Landon Collins from the New York Giants.
Oh.
I'm hearing that the Giants might franchise tag him. And if they do, then that basically takes him off the market.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like him as well. And there was one more, now I can't think of it.
That's okay. I mean, there's a lot out there, actually.
There was only two on your list, was Thomas.
Those are the only two I was looking at, yes. That actually looked like worth my time.
Were they top 25 for you?
They were the only two safeties in the top 25 in the Sporting News, yeah.
Well, they're wrong.
All right, so Mark Eckel calls up Jake Turner, telling him better research next time. Got it.
No, not you. I'm ripping the Sporting News.
No, I know. Okay, let's go to outside linebacker.
Unless they're assuming, like a lot of people are, that Collins isn't going to make it to free agency. The Giants are either going to re-sign him or tag him, which is, from what I read and hear, is pretty much what's going to happen. But you never know.
Yeah, Collins was on the list, but I never felt like that guy was going to be a free agent. Like you just said, he was going to be a free franchise tag guy. That was already going to happen. Right. Well, it'll be interesting. Hopefully the Packers do go get a safety, because their safety position is deplorable right now. Kentrell Bryce will probably be lasting maybe about as long as the time that I have a date with Emma Stone or something like that. I don't know. But at that point, it's just a mess. I mean, Tremont Williams, he's getting on age. Sorry?
I thought Tremont Williams did okay.
Yeah, he did okay. But, I mean, there needs to be more than just okay, though. I mean, these offenses are getting a lot more explosive in the NFL, and it's only a matter of time for that continues, and that's why they need a stout defense to build around. So let's talk about the outside linebackers, because I'm ecstatic. I'm pumped for Mike Smith as outside linebackers coach. He worked with Mike Pettine in the past. He did a great job with Kansas City, with Dee Ford and Justin Houston. And there are a bunch of outside linebackers out there. But, Mark, I think the Packers, they should take a shot and try and grab Jevanian Clowney. What's the possibility of that? Come on, Mark.
I mean, he's a great player. Again, do you think Houston's going to let him go?
I don't think Houston can afford him.
Okay.
I don't think they can afford him. That's my thing. I think that they're dealing with some situations right now that are bigger than Jevanian Clowney. And if they decide to, they might franchise tag him. But if they don't and the Packers can come up with a good deal, that could be the splash. The Packers have to make one big splash in free agency. They have to make one.
Oh, yeah, I agree. And they have the money to do it. But
yeah,
you're telling me if Houston can't afford him, then they certainly can't afford to franchise tag him. Because then the tag would cost more than a long-term deal.
All right.
So, I don't know. I'll be honest. I'm not sure if Houston what Houston's cap situation is.
Cap space right now, currently under general manager Brian Gang. Give me a moment. I'm doing this as we speak. Don't worry, folks. A lot of people in podcasts do this a lot. Okay, I was dead wrong. Their cap space is 77 mil. Okay.
Oh, yeah, but then Clowney's going nowhere.
Well, I mean, what if the Packers offer him a better deal, though?
He's not going to get to that point. If Houston has 77 million, don't you think they'll sign Clowney before March 14th happens?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so that's Jake's second hot take of the day. I'll remind myself of that. All right, let's.
I didn't think Clowney. You're shooting for the stars, but you're not.
Yeah, why not? I mean, otherwise you can look at Preston Smith. Preston Smith, you know, he's had 3 good years with Washington. He's a possibility. Cheap on there as well. He only makes like $1.5 million right now. So you can, you know, make him on the cheap and bring him in. He's very fast, great athleticism. But that's probably all I could think
he's
of.
He's not a bad player.
Huh?
He's not bad.
Okay, what about you? You have any?
I like Dee Ford, who's the veteran that Smith cooked in Kansas City.
Okay, why would Kansas City let Dee Ford go?
Because how much money does Kansas City have?
Kansas City has 26 mil.
Okay, that's not a lot in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, especially when he woke up, yeah. That I like that one.
You know, I mean, I think, don't get me wrong, I think Kansas City's going to try to keep him. He's a good player, but the Packers have 38. I mean, you want to look at teams that have less money than the Packers have.
Mm-hmm.
Because then the Packers can outbid them.
Bears.
And I think, and again, I'm not in Kansas City to know, but if Dee Ford really likes Mike Smith, you know, then they have a connection there.
I like it.
I'm just saying. I mean, I think he would. They just have to teach him not to line up off sides in a crucial play in the championship game. That's all.
All right. So let's finishing off here, Pack-A-Day, on Saturday, February 16th, 2019. I'm Jake Turner of PackersTalk.com. Joining me is Mark Eckel of BobMcGinnFootball.com. We wanted to leave this because I thought this was quite interesting throughout the week. But Muhammad Wilkerson told Michael Cohen of The Athletic he wants to come back to Green Bay. Now, Mark, he's not going to get that 1 year, $5 million. What would be the right number to bring back Wilkerson after an injury-plagued season?
Wasn't an injury plague. It was a serious injury. I mean, first of all, before I even offer him a nickel, my doctors have to look at him and see how, if he's recovered and is he going to be able to play. That was a really bad injury that he suffered last year. If my doctors give me the go ahead, I got to give him like a one year, $1 million maybe minimum, maybe even less minimum, whatever his. I give him $1 million just to make a round number. 1 year, $1 million. And then I load it up with incentives.
Okay. What would those incentives be? What kind of things?
Playing time incentives. If he plays, whatever percentage of plays, he gets another whatever. Sacks. If he gets 5 sacks, he gets X amount of dollars. If he gets 8 sacks, he gets a little more. If he gets 10 sacks, he gets more than that. Maybe tackles, you know, tackles for loss. You know, put a number on that. If he's healthy and plays a lot and has a good year, you know, he gets 7 sacks and, you know, 8 tackles for a loss or 9 tackles, whatever the case might be, then he makes good money. Then he makes the $5 million. You know, it all adds up to him getting what he deserves. The fact that he wants to come back is a good thing. That means he liked it there. He likes his teammates. He obviously likes Mike Pettine. That's why he came to Green Bay in the first place. I don't think defensive line is a major need. But again, you can never have enough big bodies that are decent players. And I think that's what Mo is. I think he's a decent player. I don't think he's a player he once was. And again, now coming off a bad injury. But if he's willing to come in for a deal that I just threw out there, sure, bring him in. Why not?
I think that's a good point because his last great season was 2015 when he had 12 sacks. And so he's coming in at age 30, coming off a horrible injury, and just see if there's something left in there. But, Mark, I think Muhammad Wilkerson should come back one more time if he does clear the physical, if everything is good, because then you could start to really get within it with the likes of Tyler Lancaster, who I thought – in the last 6 games, did a very good job at defensive line, really worked well. Even when Kenny Clark was out a couple of times, Lancaster stepped in, and he was able to do something great. But also, you talk about, you know, draft on the offensive side. I think that they should look at drafting the defensive line through the draft a little bit and bring back Wilkerson so you can rebuild that right side because you already have it set with Daniels and Kenny Clark going forward. So you don't need to put too much money into that defensive line because that's not how Pettine works. Pettine's defense is a 3-4, which means that the aspect of the blitzing of the pass rush is through the linebackers and the edge rushers. So they should be focused more on the outside linebacker spot than the defensive line.
You're a little mistaken there, Jake.
Okay, I'm a little mistaken. Go ahead.
Mike Pettine's 3-4 is not the old Dom Capers Pittsburgh 3-4.
Okay.
Mike Pettine's blitz has come from it. Yes, he wants his outside guys to get so. But look back at his Jets teams and look at his Cleveland team. The inside linebackers come a lot, and the defensive line, like you said, Mo Wilkinson had 12 sacks.
Oh, okay.
He wants his defensive linemen to get more sacks. It's not all about the edge rushers. It's about everybody. If you look, go back and look at his Jets team. It was like five or six guys all had like eight sacks or something, mm-hmm. between six and eight sacks. It was not like one guy with 16 and nobody else with more than five. No, it was spread around because you never knew who was coming. That's the beauty of Mike Pettine's defense. The blitz could come from the outside, could come from the inside, could come from the core safety. I mean, he don't. That's it's not the classic 3-4 where you knew like under Capers. And I'm not ripping Capers because it was the Pittsburgh style that was very successful for a long time. But you basically knew where it was coming from. It was Clay Matthews or Nick Perry on the outside, or prior to that, you know, whoever else was matched up with Clay. But it was the outside guys always coming, always coming, always coming. The inside guys had different responsibilities, and the line was basically just traffic cops, you know, tying up traffic while the outside linebackers made the plays. And Pettine's, and this is why I think one of the biggest needs on this Packer team is, and everybody talks about edge rusher and safety, and I agree, but they need better inside linebackers. If this defense is really going to work, they need some top of the line, and they need a big time inside linebacker. And there are some of those available as well. But that's what I think they need. Hey, well, like I said, I want four new linebackers, to be honest with you.
Right, and no, that's a good point, because you have Nick Perry injury plagued and has a bloated contract. You have 33-year-old Clay Matthews. Blake Martinez has done a good job, not a great job.
He's okay.
And Jake Ryan, well, torn ACL, carted off, and we don't know. And we don't know if he's ever going to be the same again.
He's gone. I don't want Jake Ryan.
Why is that, Mark?
Why do I want Jake Ryan?
Okay. Interesting.
He wasn't that good before he got hurt. Now he's hurt. I believe he's unsigned. I'm not spending any money on Jake Ryan.
Well, it's going to be interesting because
the only linebackers I'm bringing back, Kyle Fackrell.
Okay.
Because why not? And like I said, I'd like them. I don't want them to be the star. I want them to be a rotation guy with two other outside linebackers that I
want to
draft one. Inside, I'll keep Martinez for another year. But I also, I want him rotating because he's good on rundown. I mean, well, he missed a lot of tackles last year, but he can't cover you. So, and that's the problem. The Packers inside linebackers have to cover. He can't cover. He gets exploited game after game. I mean, offensive coordinators look for him and exploit him. So they need an inside linebacker that can run and cover. There's a few both in the draft and in free agency that I would like to see. I keep Oren Burks because, A, he was very good on special teams. I'm hoping he becomes more than that.
Agreed.
But he was a rookie. You know, it was a lot to learn as a rookie. Let's, you know, give another chance and see. Other than that, Reggie Gilbert I'll keep as a backup special teams guy, you know, fourth or fifth linebacker. But I want to draft two and sign two.
I like it. No, that's good. That's one thing I don't want to see the Packers do is become like the big winners of free agency or anything like that. No. Just focus, keep trying to create a nice balance, bring in a splash player, and then, of course, draft a couple so we can continue to build that. Bring in guys that Mike Pettine wants, because now it's a different coaching staff, and Mike Pettine has a lot more power to this. I mean, he brings in his own guys. He gets to keep his own guys. Hopefully, he has a say in the draft coming up as well. Mark, as usual, it is always a pleasure to do this Pack-A-Day podcast with you. Great stuff as usual, and we'll talk in a few weeks.
Yes, we will. It'll be that much closer to free agents.
Oh, tell me about it. I'm already counting down the days. I can't wait for the month of March, Mark. Man, a punk. All right. That was Mark Eckel of BobandGinFootball.com, a terrific friend of mine. I'm very, very blessed to be able to do this Pack-A-Day podcast with him. Also, I just want a nice brief shout out also to Jersey Al. Jersey Al has been terrific to me, understanding my school schedule with the Dan Patrick School of Sports Casting and letting me write for Packerstalk.com. I understand he was on Pack-A-Day earlier this week, had a great guest spot. If you haven't seen that, go to iTunes, check it out. It was a lot of fun to just hear him talk because he has such a brilliant knowledge of the Green Bay Packers. So that's it for Pack-A-Day. Now, if you got any comments, concerns, I want you to go to my Twitter page at Jake Turner Sport, Mark Eccles at Mark Eccles 08, or you can find it on the at Pack-A-Day podcast. Make sure you subscribe, comment. We love your comments because seriously, I got some great Packer fans out there that greatly appreciate this work. Give me a little idea of how to make it better, and that's what we're here for. We're trying to build this thing from the ground up. I mean, we just passed episode 200, and so I'm very excited for that and the future of Pack-A-Day. So for next time, for Mark Eckel, I'm Jake Turner. This has been your Pack-A-Day podcast for Saturday, February 16th, 2019. And the three greatest words in the dictionary of the Green Bay Packers is, go, Pack, go. We'll see you next time on Pack-A-Day.
Third down and eight. Packers are 3 of 8 on third down conversions. Now gets the snap. Tight pocket. Lofts it down the left side. Adams leaping. Grab. Wow. Oh, what a catch. Wow. Right over Prince Amukamara. Out of bounds. 20-yard line of Chicago. That was an incredible leaping grab over the defender. Long count by A-Rod. Takes. Handoff Williams around the right end. Makes the turn to the five. End zone. Touchdown. Oh, they got great seal blocks off the right side. And outside the numbers, Jamal Williams on a 10-yard touchdown run. And the Packers are right back in it. Rodgers shotgun. Slot right, slot left for the two-point conversion. Snap to Rodgers. Has some time. Pulls it over the middle. Devontae Adams has it. Two-point conversion. And we are tied at 14 apiece. Third and one, snap to Cohen, makes a handoff, fumbles it, it's up for grabs, and I believe Green Bay's got it. More arrogance by Matt Nagy. A trick play. Oh, all the tricks in the world, and they're foiling the Bears now. Dean Lowry makes the fumble recovery. Second down, a little bit less than 6 yards to go, they spot it. Just beyond the 44-yard line of Green Bay. Snap, Rodgers looking left. Throws it to Adams on the slant. He's got it inside the 40. Breaks a tackle down to the 35 and has tumbled down through the hash marks on the right side at the 33-yard line of Chicago. Fourth down and 6 at the Green Bay 45. Rodgers long count the line. Takes the snap, back pedals. Steps up Floyd, eludes Floyd on the pass rush, throws the middle. He's got Devontae cutting right inside the 35. Down near the 31-yard line of Chicago, brought down to the 30-yard line number by Adrian Amos, the safety.